The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. So, if you're looking for a shortcut, maybe a key, to understanding the physical architecture of the modern world,
globalization, why things cost what they do.
Exactly. Then you're definitely in the right place today. We are opening up Mark Levinson's seminal book, The Box, Containerization and Globalization's Genesis.
Right. And the title, The Box, it sounds almost, well, boring, doesn't it? A simple steel box. But Levinson makes this really powerful case that this is probably the most profound, but maybe the least recognized infrastructure revolution of the entire 20th century.
So that's what we're diving into. How did this completely standard object, this box, become the catalyst for the explosion in global trade?
Yeah, the mission is to figure out, you know, what was that unseen force? What suddenly made global trade feasible and, crucially, cheap after the 1960s?
And Levinson gives it a name. He talks about the problem holding trade back for centuries. Logistical friction.
I think that phrase, logistical friction, is just brilliant. Because for literally thousands of years, the sheer time involved, the high cost, the massive inefficiency of just moving physical stuff,
right,
it acted like a natural economic wall. Getting something from, say, Shanghai to Chicago was just prohibitively expensive for most things. It was a kind of built-in protectionism.
And the box just smashed right through that wall.
Completely shattered it.
Okay, before we get too deep into the box itself, let's talk about the author. Who is Mark Levinson? Why him?
Well, he's an American economist, historian, journalist. He's worked at places like The Economist, Newsweek, the Council on Foreign Relations.
So not a shipping guy, not an engineer.
No, exactly.
Right.
And that's kind of the key to the book's power, I think. He's not writing a history of ships or cranes. He's coming at it as an economic historian, which means he can connect this very physical, honestly kind of low-tech thing, the steel box, to these huge, abstract economic forces.
So he's looking at the why. Why did it matter so much? Not just how it worked.
Precisely. He quantifies its impact on stuff like inflation, on productivity, even on why companies suddenly started moving factories overseas.
That massive shift in manufacturing.
Yeah. He ties it all back to the container. His authority really comes from making that link, showing how this humble innovation basically turbocharged globalization and, in a way, kind of shrank the world.
Okay, let's paint the picture then. The world before the container. Levinson uses phrases like chaotic, expensive, and labor-intensive nightmare. He's talking about break bulk cargo.
Yeah, break bulk. And you really have to picture it. It means every single item was handled individually by dock workers, by longshoremen.
Like sacks of coffee, barrels of oil, crates of machinery, one by one.
One by one. Onto the docks, into the ship's hold. It was incredibly slow, incredibly labor-intensive, and the cost. Levinson estimates shipping often made up a quarter, maybe even more, of a product's final price tag.
Wow. Okay, so into this chaos steps the hero, Malcolm McLean. And the crucial thing is, he wasn't a shipping magnate.
No, he was a trucker, a successful trucking company owner. And he was just frustrated, fed up with how long it took his trucks to get unloaded and loaded at the ports.
He saw the inefficiency firsthand. You load the truck, drive to the port, unload the truck, then someone else loads the same stuff onto the ship.
Exactly. All that redundant handling. His big idea, this intermodal concept, was stunningly simple in retrospect. Why not just lift the whole darn truck trailer, or at least a standardized box part of it?
Lift the container right off the truck chassis and put it straight onto the ship.
Yep. Seems obvious now, right?
Totally obvious now. But back then,
huge resistance.
Yeah.
Massive. You had the powerful longshoremen's unions who saw their jobs disappearing overnight. You had the traditional shipping companies skeptical, invested in the old ways.
And the ports themselves, all their infrastructure, the finger piers, designed for the old system.
Right. They all saw McLean's box as a direct threat to their existence, basically.
But once it got going, the change was unstoppable.
Completely irreversible. Shipping costs just plummeted. And Levinson argues this effectively erased distance as this major economic barrier it had always been.
Which then fuels everything else, the decline of manufacturing in the West, the rise of Asia.
The transformation of port cities everywhere. It all connects back.
Let's dig into that pre-container world a bit more. The tyranny of break bulk, as Levinson calls it. Describe that dockside chaos the container solved.
Well, imagine a giant, really complicated 3D jigsaw puzzle being solved by hand in slow motion. Workers literally manhandling every single sack, bale, crate into the ship's hold.
Try to pack it tight, use every inch of space.
Yeah, exactly. But the incredibly economic inefficiency was this. These massively expensive things, the ships themselves, spent more time tied up in port being loaded and unloaded than they actually spent at sea making money.
The whole system was backwards. The most valuable asset was idle most of the time.
Completely upside down. The container just flipped that script, which brings us to that pivotal moment, the proof of concept.
McLean's big gamble.
April 26, 1956. The first voyage of his converted tanker, the Ideal X. It sailed from Newark down to Houston with 58 containers on board.
And the numbers.
That's what mattered.
Oh, the numbers were staggering. Levinson highlights this. McLean's company moved that cargo for about 16 cents per ton.
Okay. And the old way.
The old break bulk method. Nearly $6 per ton.
Wait, from $6 down to 16 cents?
Yeah. It's like a 97% cost reduction almost instantly.
That's not improvement. That's a different world entirely. A revolution.
Absolutely. But like most revolutions, it wasn't bloodless. There was huge human cost. We have to talk about the Long War.
The fight against the unions.
Primarily, yes. The International Longshoremen's Association, the ILA. They saw the writing on the wall immediately. This system wasn't just changing their jobs. It was eliminating tens of thousands of them.
Skilled, often well-paid union jobs.
Right. So they fought back hard. Levinson details these incredibly bitter, crippling strikes that basically shut down ports all through the 1960s and into the 70s. It's understandable from their view. It was an existential threat. Their skills became obsolete almost overnight.
Totally rational from their perspective. They were fighting for their communities, their livelihoods.
So how did the container system overcome that level of resistance? It seems like it could have been choked in its cradle.
Well, this is where history gets weird. Sometimes, you know, big innovations need a huge external shock to break through entrenched interests. And the unlikely catalyst here was the Vietnam War.
Vietnam. How does a war accelerate global trade infrastructure? That sounds backwards.
It does, but think about the logistics. Supplying the war effort in Vietnam was becoming a nightmare for the U.S. military. Stuff was getting lost, damaged, stolen, delayed. Ports were clogged.
Okay, a logistical mess.
A total mess. So the military, out of desperation for efficiency, turned to Malcolm McLean's company, Sea Land Service. They contracted Sea Land to set up containerized shipping routes directly to Vietnam and other parts of Asia.
Ah, so the military basically forced the issue.
Pretty much. It proved the system worked on a massive scale, under difficult conditions. And crucially, it meant government money was effectively subsidizing the creation of the container terminals, the ships, the cranes needed for those vital Pacific trade routes.
So war unintentionally paved the way for globalized commerce.
In a very real sense, yes. But for the box to truly become the global key, it wasn't enough for it to work between the U.S. and Asia. It had to work everywhere.
Which means standardization.
Bingo. The least sexy part of the story, but arguably the most important. You needed everyone, everywhere, to agree on the same box.
The dimensions, the corner fittings.
Everything. That fell to the International Organization for Standardization, the ISO. Imagine those committee meetings, painstaking work to get global agreement so a container loaded in, say, Singapore, would fit perfectly onto a train in Germany or a truck in Ohio.
And there's a specific invention here that's crucial, right?
Yes. We absolutely have to mention the engineer Keith Tantlinger and his invention, the twist lock mechanism.
The little fitting on the corners.
That's the one. A simple, incredibly clever device that allows containers to be locked together securely when stacked high on ships and also locked firmly onto truck chassis or railway cars.
Without that, the whole system falls apart, literally.
Exactly. It's what enables the stacking, the stability, the security. It's easy to overlook, but it's utterly essential to the whole global network. We owe a lot to those engineers hammering out the boring details.
Okay, so we have the box, the ships, the cranes, the standards, the twist locks. What was the immediate impact on cities? Levinson calls it an urban earthquake.
And that's not an exaggeration. His case study comparing the Port of New York and the Port of Newark is really telling.
What happened?
Basically, the traditional finger piers in Manhattan, Brooklyn, right in the heart of the city, they became useless almost overnight.
Too small, too crowded.
Both.
Mm-hmm.
And they just couldn't handle the sheer space needed for containers. The storage yards, the huge cranes, the trucks maneuvering. Container shipping needs vast tracts of land.
So the industry moved?
It fled the city center. It moved across the river to the huge, relatively empty, cheap marshlands of Newark and Elizabeth, New Jersey. They could build massive automated terminals there.
And that pattern repeated in port cities everywhere.
All over the world, the docks moved out. often far away from the urban core, which, you know, explains something many of us have seen.
Why so many cities have redeveloped their old waterfronts. The old docks and warehouses are gone, replaced by parks, apartments, restaurants.
Exactly. That waterfront transformation is a direct consequence of the container moving the logistics industry out of sight, usually miles away. It's a profound change in urban geography, all driven by this simple box.
Amazing. Okay, let's try and pull out some of the biggest themes Levinson emphasizes. What are the core messages here?
I think the first one is that innovation is often a system, not just a single invention. McLean's genius wasn't just thinking of the box, it was envisioning the entire integrated system around it.
The ships, the cranes, the trucks, the storage, the tracking, all working together.
Right, he was a systems thinker, fundamentally.
Okay, theme one, systems thinking. What else?
Theme two has to be creative destruction. It's a classic economic concept, and the container is a perfect example.
How so?
Well, it created enormous value fueling global growth, lowering prices for consumers. That's the creation. But at the same time, it destroyed an entire way of life for dock workers, wiped out countless jobs, and hollowed out old port districts.
That destruction was brutal, but necessary for the creation.
Levinson argues they were two sides of the same coin. You couldn't get the benefits without the painful disruption.
Makes sense. Theme three.
The power of standardization. We touched on this, but it's huge. Modern globalization simply couldn't happen without that incredibly boring technical work of agreeing on universal standards.
The ISO dimensions, the twist locks, creating that common language for physical goods.
Exactly. It allowed seamless movement across companies, countries, continents. Interoperability was key.
And a final theme.
Maybe disruption often comes from the outside. The established maritime industry didn't invent this. They resisted it. It took an outsider, McLean the trucker.
Right, someone frustrated by the existing system's flaws.
Yeah, someone with fresh eyes who wasn't invested in the old way of doing things to see the potential for radical change.
That's a recurring pattern in innovation stories. Okay, Levinson's writing is also pretty punchy. He has some lines that really capture the essence of the argument.
He does. Like this one, getting to the core problem. The cost of getting a product to the customer was the greatest barrier to international trade before the 1960s.
So it wasn't tariffs or politics primarily, it was just the sheer cost of moving things, that friction.
Exactly. That physical friction was the real wall, and the container knocked it down.
Then there's this provocative one. The container did more to fuel globalization than all the trade agreements of the past 50 years combined.
Oof, yeah, that's a big claim. He's essentially saying the underlying technology, the economic possibility created by the box, was more powerful than all the political negotiations. The tech drove the change.
It enabled the policies, in a way.
Or maybe just made them inevitable. Another quote points to the efficiency gain. Millions of tons of cargo cross the oceans each year in containers that are opened only when they reach their final destinations thousands of miles away.
That door-to-door aspect. Load it once, seal it, open it at the end. Huge for security and preventing damage and theft.
Transformed reliability. And finally, the direct link to our lives today. Without the container, there would be no Walmart, no IKEA, no Amazon.
Wow. He draws a straight line from the box to the entire model of big box retail and e-commerce.
Yeah, the low costs, the vast inventories, the global sourcing. He argues it all rests on the logistical foundation laid by the container.
Okay, so bringing it home for us, what are the real life applications or takeaways if you're in business?
I think the lesson is, look for the biggest points of friction in your own system, whatever business you're in. And don't just tweak things. Think like, can you reimagine the entire process? Think systemically.
Don't just improve the product. Maybe improve the whole delivery system around it.
Exactly. And for just understanding the world.
Yeah, for global perspective.
The container makes abstract globalization feel really concrete. You know, when a ship gets stuck in the Suez Canal and suddenly headlines talk about supply chain chaos.
Right. You realize it all depends on these physical boxes moving smoothly through these specific choke points.
It highlights the physical infrastructure underpinning it all, and maybe its fragility, too.
And just for us as citizens, consumers.
Well, the book explains why so much of the stuff we buy is relatively inexpensive, especially things made far away. And it explains the landscape of our cities, why the waterfront's changed. It connects the dots between that steel box and our daily environment.
It makes the invisible visible, in a way.
Yeah, I like that.
So final thoughts. What really stuck with you or maybe surprised you?
For me, it was probably the reminder of how critical those seemingly tiny, boring details are. Like the twist lock. Something so small enabling this massive global network effect. It gives you a real appreciation for infrastructure, for standards. Levinson kind of gives you this logistical consciousness. You start thinking about the journey everything took to get to you.
A logistical consciousness, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think it's the idea that sometimes the most world-changing innovations aren't the flashiest ones. It wasn't some high-tech computer or biotech breakthrough in this case.
Nope, just a steel box.
Just a steel box combined with relentless systems thinking and that crucial standardization. It solved a very practical, very mundane problem, moving stuff efficiently. And in doing so, it physically rewired the planet and made the global economy we know today possible.
A powerful reminder that simple ideas executed systematically can have enormous impact.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Atatra Foundation.